The word of God is from Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 to 33. Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 to 33. Let us read together. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Just as our church, many churches are gathered together this morning celebrating Thanksgiving Day. It is a day celebrating the harvest, day celebrating the bountifulness of God's blessings. Within the creation of God, within the sovereign rulership of God, all creations continue to live and thrive. A seed is planted on the earth, and it is God who gives the sunlight, the rain. And as we see the seed planted and grow and give its harvest, we can't help but be amazed and be thankful to God, who is the giver of all things. If you observe the heart of mankind, we lack thankfulness. We lack any kind of room in our hearts to reflect and be thankful. We live a life rushed. From the time of our birth, the Bible makes it clear that from the time of our birth, we are born in sin and death. And about the nature of our heart, the Bible states that our hearts are deprived and our hearts are cursed beyond all things. So we live life being rushed, live life as being chased by something that is unknown to us. We have no room in our life, in our hearts, to observe our surroundings and find the reasons for beauty, reasons for thankfulness. But we live our lives with problems that continues to wreak havoc in our lives. So we have no room in our lives, no room in our hearts to observe the things around us, to appreciate the beauty of God's creation around us, and have the heart of thankfulness. I remember when I visited North Korea, and as I observed the people that were living there, I noticed that within the eyes of people that I saw no focus, I saw no hope. I saw the people living lives in agony without any hope. They would look at you, but you would not see any focus in their eyes. You do not see any signs of life in their eyes. The eyes are the lamp of a person, so it gives us a look into their lives, which was without hope. So their eyes, the looks in their eyes were revealing the the reality of their hearts, reality of their inner self, that had no answers to their life's problems and agony. And in the same way, within the lives of people around us, we observe that we see no hope, we see no joy, we see no thankfulness, but we see people being heavily weighed down by the burdens of life. The seed has been planted into the ground, and it grows and bears fruit. And I experienced that in my little balcony where I have planted a few seeds. And as it grew, I noticed that it continued to bear fruit. And I observe all that, I come to learn that the farmers find satisfaction, the sense of achievement and contentment from seeing the seeds planted and grow and bearing fruit. And seeing that, I imagine perhaps the farmers are relieved of all of their labor and toil and hard work as they see the seeds being planted and that bearing much fruit. Apostle Paul states that it is though we, the mankind, plants the seed and water it, but it is the Lord who causes it to grow. That is the mystery of God's provision unto us. And that is a great mystery, but we fail to appreciate the wonder of it, and therefore we fail to thank God for His sovereign works in our lives. God, who created the universe, He now gives us a season of harvest, and it is a great reason for us to be thankful, but there is a much greater reason to be thankful, which is that the one who created all things, He, the Creator, came to this earth, and He lived and died and rose again, and through and as a harvest of His sacrificial work on this earth, He has given us a new life. Through His blood, through His death and resurrection, He has given us redemption. And so that is a greater reason for us to be thankful for. It is a reason that we ought to be thankful for all through our lives. So Christ came here on earth to die and to rise again for the sinners such as you and I. He looked upon the earth and He declared and He said that there is much to be harvested. Pray to the Lord of the harvest for the harvesters to come and harvest the field. So in our main text this morning, we see that the Lord reminds us, do not worry about what you will wear, what you will eat, what you will drink. So we see these things as the most important questions of our lives, most important needs of our lives. But the Lord reminds us, such is not the things we ought to truly seek for. And the Lord reminds us, look at the birds of the air. They do not sow nor reap, but is it not the Lord who takes care of them? And the Lord reminds them also of the flowers of the field, how that the Lord is the one who clothes them, even the grass of the field. So therefore, you of little faith, He says, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? These are the truth of life. But even though these are the truths, they seem to be so far away from us, so foreign to us. How can we as mere human beings not worry about what we will eat, what we will drink, and what we will wear? And so we ask, is God unaware of our needs? Even though this is the truth of God, we feel that we have no capability to appreciate this truth. When the Lord reminds us, are you not much more valuable than the birds of the air? Or is it that the mankind that all of us are missing the hidden treasure within these truths? And the Lord reminds us that these are the things that the pagans run after, all these things. And your Heavenly Father knows you need them, but seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. His kingdom and His righteousness. If those things come true in our lives, the Lord reminds us that all these other things will be added onto us as well. So the Lord says, if you open this truth and if you receive the teachings of the truth genuinely, then all these things will be given to you as well. In John chapter 1, it says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So the Word was God, but that Word took on flesh, came upon us. And it reminds us, when He came upon this earth, taking on the flesh of a mankind, He was full of truth and grace. So God became man and came here on earth. When we look at that person of Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, that it reminds us that He was full of grace and truth. And the question is, why did Jesus come to this earth? He came filled with grace and truth. One thing we must remember, beloved, at the creation, when Adam and Eve ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, sin entered into mankind. After that, all of the creation was cursed. And in understanding and seeing that, the mankind fell because they ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And the Bible describes the resulting heart of mankind as being more corrupt, more filthy than anything else here on this earth. And whether you believe it or not, the fact is that you are living as a dead person. You are a dead man walking. And the evidence of that is that you are living your life headed towards your grave, towards your tombstone. The mankind who ate from the knowledge of good and evil, who departed from the original design of God, that they have departed from the glorious position that God has created them to be. The mankind listened and deceived by Satan, disobeyed God, ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and they fell from there on. And in the hearts of mankind, there is no truth from there on. And as the scripture teaches and shows us, that you must receive it and believe what the scripture says about the heart and the condition of mankind. For you to come to know that there is no truth, that there is no truth in mankind. Everything belonging to the first creation, for instance, the fall, there is no truth. Even within the mankind, that there is found no truth. Everything about the creation has fallen. You drink the water, but you become thirsty again. You eat your bread, you become hungry again. So there is no lasting truth. There is no lasting reality. It is only a shadow of things. It is only vanity of vanities. It is only the things that keeps on changing and degrading. And the Bible describes it as things that will eventually all burn away. All things that have fallen as a result of eating from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So the Bible describes it as things that will burn up. It describes it, it likens it as the rubbish of all things. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 11, it says that in the beginning, O Lord, you laid a foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will all wear out like a garment. It reminds us that all of creation will eventually perish, and they will wear out like an old garment. It says, you will roll them up like a robe, like a garment. They will be changed, but you remain the same, and your years will never end. And Peter reminds us that the heavens and the earth will eventually be burned up. It will all be destroyed. In Romans, Apostle Paul reminds us that all of creation are a slave to the things that eventually waste away. And all of God's creation are groaning to be free from their bondage to sin. So all of creation is awaiting for the sons of God to be revealed. The sons of God that have been cursed because of their sins. So all of God's creation are awaiting and groaning, waiting for the sons of God to be revealed again. And in nature, we are unaware of the fact that the creation that God had put in place are interacting with one another, giving somewhat of a resemblance of God's original created order. But yet, they are not perfect. They are not the way that God has created. So therefore, all of creation is groaning to that day of restoration. So, beloved, all of creation are not in the form that they were created originally. And that is why, even today, that we don't see the perfection of God's creation, that we see the temporariness of all things around us, including the mankind. And what is most important for mankind, it is what they will eat, drink, and where. But even within that, we do not find any lasting reality. Because as I reminded you before, we eat and we still are hungry after. We drink and we still become thirsty. We wear clothes, we are not content and satisfied. We eat and drink, we are content for a little while, but we become in need of food and water again. And you think you need to eat and drink to live, but the reality is the more you eat, the more you drink, you are closer to your death. And how can such food be genuine food? You eat to live, but the more you eat, the closer you are to your death. So such bread, such food, has lost its original design. What is the constituents, the reality, the nature of the food that we're talking about? And I wrote down something that a professor at UCLA wrote. In his research paper, he wrote that if you eat too much, you will age quicker. Overeating will cause premature aging. And we see that around us. There are people that we look at and we deem them to be a certain age, but they are in actuality much younger. So the secret of long life today says, if you want to live a healthy long life, eat as little as possible. So if you listen to the physicians and the scientists of the day, you realize that you have to be very alert about what you eat, how much you eat. And many diseases even come from eating certain food in certain way and certain amounts. The food is supposed to give us energy. And the food that we eat today is not true food. It is morally corrupt food. It is not food that gives us strength against the immorality of this life. It does not give us any spiritual strength. All that it does is aid us in our fleshly passions. So the vitamins that you take in, it aids your fleshly passions, fleshly desires. And all the food that you can ever eat has nothing to do with the true man's need. The mankind, beloved, is distinct from all other creation. So the food that we eat today, the physical food, has nothing to do with good life, nothing to do with holy life. All that it does, it feeds our bodies towards death. So the Bible reminds us, why do you pursue after the things that will not satisfy? It reminds us, why do you pursue after food that will not satisfy, food that will not satisfy you eternally, but work towards and ask the Lord for the food that will feed you and satisfy you eternally. So in the New Testament scripture, the Lord reminds us that He is the true bread. He is a true water. And those who eat of me will never thirst and will never go hungry. And within that true bread of life, we find salvation. We find eternal life. We find strength to be victorious against this sinful, fallen world. It gives us power to be victorious against our sinful habits. When you eat of the Word of God, it gives us hope. It gives us joy. It gives us power to even love our enemies. It gives us power to be victorious over our anxieties and our worries. It gives us power to be even healed of our physical diseases. And this bread of life can only be received and eaten of by a mankind. And this Word of God is something that is designed for us not only to read, but to receive it, but to eat of it, to eat of the reality of God Himself. It is different than a person who has studied the Bible intellectually, but the person of Jesus Christ is living, and He is the author of this book. If you merely read from the intellectual perspective, then you may know of Jesus intellectually. But beloved, you must eat of the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus reminds us to drink of His blood, to eat of this bread of life. So we must not remain at thinking that this book is all for reading, but it is for consumption. It is for eating. So the spiritual man cannot live without eating of this book. So the bread that we know of that is needed for our physical body, and the true bread that we must take in for our inner man, is vastly different. And the physical bread that you think of as being most needed by mankind cannot truly satisfy, cannot truly meet the requirement of the true bread. So the Lord knows to a fleshly mankind, food, water, and clothes are important. But He reminds us, whoever is thirsty, come drink of me. And those who drink of me will never thirst. And from Him will come the living fountain of living water. So fleshly mankind lives for their stomach. Their stomach is their master. Why do they work so hard? To meet the need of their flesh. But the living water of Jesus Christ, when we drink of Him, out of us will come the fountain of living water. So regarding food, regarding drink, what this world offers us has no lasting truth in them, has no lasting nature about them. And regarding the clothing, what's the need for the clothing? At first, when Adam and Eve was created, there was no need for clothing. But when they ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, deceived by Satan, at that moment, sin entered in and became our reality. And there started our feeling of shame and fear. And to cover our shame, the mankind tried to cover their shame with the leaves. So they hid themselves. They needed clothing to cover themselves. So they hid themselves behind the trees. So the clothing, the need for the clothing came from man's need to cover their shame. So the mankind tried to cover themselves with the fig tree leaves, but God kills an animal with its skin, provides their covering. Beloved, true covering, true clothes can only be made and provided by God Himself. And to provide for that covering, God had to kill a living creature. So Apostle Paul writes, if anyone has been united with Christ, he has been clothed with Christ. So the people of this world, they again fail to understand the nature of true clothes. That they do not realize the clothes made by mankind, fig leaves, are not enough to cover their sins, their shame. It has to be the covering provided by God Himself. But this world fails to know the original intent of clothes. Now the clothes in this world has become a sign of their greed, a sign of their extravagant living. They come up with all kinds of designs for clothing. They even put holes in their own clothes as a fashionable thing to do. So the fashion designers do all kinds of things with the fashion designing. And now the clothing has become not something that covers mankind, but they have gone farther, and it is almost like a challenge to how little you can wear. And fashions change all the time. Even neckties, I noticed that sometimes the ties that are wider are more popular, and then recently, the narrower ones are in. And this is all just a attempt of mankind to use clothes as a means of their pride, as a means of their greed. And it becomes a source of trying to find joy where it cannot be found. But Isaiah 61 reminds us where true joy should come from. It says, Isaiah 61:10, I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God, for He has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom adorns his head like a priest, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. So it reminds us our true delight should come from being adorned with garments of salvation. In Romans chapter 13, it also reminds us that we should rather clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature. So the clothes was something that the mankind put together to cover themselves, but the Lord God provided us His clothes to cover our sins. And nothing that we can provide for ourselves can cover our shame or our sins, but only through Jesus Christ, only through the blood of Jesus Christ, our sins are washed away. That therefore we must be clothed with the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you are truly clothed with Jesus Christ, you come to know the true meaning, significance of clothes. They do not seek for extravagance on the outer clothing. Just as it reminds us in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 3, it says, not given to drunken, not violent, but gentle, but quarrelsome, not love of money. He must manage, and it goes on, and it teaches us that you must not be the one who adorns yourselves with outer clothing. It reminds us your beauty should not come from outward adornments such as braided hair and the wearing of gold jewelry and fine clothes. Instead, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is great worth in God's sight. And Korean people are in particular very worldly in terms of buying and wearing clothes that are luxurious and wasteful. And when I go to Korea, I see how so many people are so into wearing things on the outside that show their status in life, their desire to show themselves off. And people look into their closet full of clothes and they still say they have nothing to wear. Instead of indulging in extravagant clothes, if you have the Lord Jesus Christ, you no longer are interested in wearing the luxurious, wasteful, extravagant clothing, indulging in such greed and self-aggrandizement, but you will seek the Lord Jesus Christ, the true clothes provided for us. And it is the same for our housing. Now, housing is supposed to be a comfortable place for you to find rest. And the comfort and the rest you find in your home should not come from the value of your home or the extravagance of your home. But the comfort comes from knowing that it is your own home. It is a place of rest for you. But however, the mankind, they save, they work in order for them to have a luxurious house. People invest so much of their time, their resources in order to have a house. In Korea, it's even worse. The house value has gotten so high that most people in their 30s cannot even afford a house. Therefore, they labor away, they slave away in order to have enough money to buy a home, a house. A house is no longer a home for many people where they find rest and comfort. But they waste their life away in order to have enough money to renovate their houses, to furbish their houses with extravagant things. So to pay for all those things, people waste their life away investing themselves for their house. So you wonder whether you, the people, exist for the house or the house for the person. It is as if the house is their master, driving them to slavery, to work that they can pay for their house. And this is all because that our understanding of our home, our house, has been corrupted. Whether it is a big or small house, the reality is that many people are enslaved to their dwelling. It is a place that should give us comfort, that should give us so many benefits. But to live your life for a house, how tragic is the life of such a man. And in speaking of a dwelling place, the Lord reminds us in John chapter 14 that how he is going away to prepare a place for us. And the Lord says, in my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you, I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may also may be where I am. So the people asked, we don't know where you are going. They were wondering where he was going. But Jesus was referring to the fact that he was going to the cross to die and rise again, that you might have a place to dwell in. And the Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? And Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. The Father is our destination. The Father is our home. So Jesus, through his death and resurrection, made it possible for us to be found in him and him to be found in us. And the Lord reminded his disciples that the birds of the air have their nest and the fox have their holes, but the Son of Man has no place to put his head down. And it is only after Jesus died and rose again there was found his body, the Church of Jesus Christ, where Christ will dwell. So the Church of God, the Church of Jesus Christ, is our eternal dwelling place. Beloved, God is not in the physical temple, but he is now in his church. And we were reminded in the New Testament scripture that the body of believers is the dwelling place of God. And in Christ, that is our eternal resting place. Beloved, not only our intellectual knowledge, you must examine whether Christ is in you, whether Christ has come into you. And for those who are sure of that, their lives are transformed. It is not the question of how much of the worldly wealth and power and fame you have, but it is a question of whether you are found in Christ, whether Christ is your master, whether Christ is your redeemer. If you truly believe in what Christ has done for you, in the works of Jesus Christ, then you will be victorious against this world. Then you will have joy and hope in your life. Regardless of your condition of your physical dwelling place, because Christ is our dwelling place, because God Himself is our final destination, because in this world we are nothing but sojourners that goes through this world. When I went to Israel, I visited the tomb of Abraham. And I was reminded of the fact that it is not the physical tomb that is important to us. It is the spiritual tomb where our old man has been put to death daily. That is what is important to us. So daily our flesh, our old man must be put to death. And as our old selves are put to death, we arise in new creation and there we find new hope in Christ. And I pray that all of us will dwell in that house of God, that we will dwell in Christ, that Christ will be in us and we will be in Christ. Beloved, regardless of how luxurious your home is, that home, that house will eventually burn up. And just as Abraham did, though he lived in a tent, that you would invest your life to receive the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ into your lives. In Psalm chapter 90, verse 1, it reminds us that, Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth earth and the world from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. And Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 27 reminds us, eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Beloved, you notice, the more extravagant, the more luxurious the earthly house is, it has to be guarded It has to be secure with tall fences and walls. And most of the times, people living in those extravagant, luxurious houses don't have peace, don't have comfort that is needed for the person. They live their entire life to achieve such extravagant living, but soon they will have to leave this earth. Beloved, I am not saying you should always live in a hut or a tent, but what I am saying is you should not invest your entire life in attaining such extravagant housing, but your life should be focused on receiving the person of Jesus Christ, having the person of Jesus Christ, to know that Christ is your master and your Lord. If you yourselves are your own master, if you are the one driving your own life, you will continue to live life in anxiety and worry. But if the master of your life is changed, and if the Lord is your master, then you will begin to see that Christ is your true dwelling place. Then there will be no reason for you to be anxious, no reason to be in fear. That eternal God, it reminds us once again, that eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And what reasons are there for you to be in fear, in anxiety, in worry? So, beloved, to a fallen world, in this fallen world, you will not find true bread, true drink, true clothes. Beloved, all the things that you see in this world are merely a mere shadow of things. Look at the nature of the bread you eat, the nature of the clothes you wear, the nature of the house that you live in. Oftentimes, because of the sins of mankind, their greed and their pursuit of their own desires, all these things which should be working for us, the mankind are actually enslaving for those things. But Jesus says to eat and drink of Him, and from Him will flow the fountain of living water. So in this world where we do not find true bread, true water, true clothing, Jesus Christ has come to us to offer us true drink, true food, true clothes. He came to give us the truth. He came to give us Himself. He came to offer us the true living water. He came to offer us true bread. He came to offer us true clothing. And if that is a reality in your life, then you cease to strive after the outer clothing, outer bread and water that will not truly satisfy. So when Christ is in you, though you may lack outer clothing, though you may lack extravagant housing, though you may lack luxurious food, but your spirit will be fed. So I encourage you, beloved, do not waste your life seeking after what you shall eat, drink, and wear, but seek after the Lord Jesus Christ, who is all in all, that upon having Jesus Christ in your life, He becomes all in all in your life. He is the only truth, the only way. So to do that, He has come to us with grace and truth. And what is grace? Grace is for Jesus to come into us. That Jesus is full of grace and truth. That means that Jesus came into this world that is full of lies and things that will not last. But He has come into this earth. He has come into us to give us lasting bread, lasting water, and lasting clothes. That is the central point of the gospel. That if you have the person of Jesus Christ, you are now one with the true. That you now have the true bread, true water and true clothing. And if you truly have the person of Jesus Christ, then unbelievers around you will be attracted to you because they will begin to see that there is truth in you. But the prince of this world is Satan himself. And this world being filled with those who are the children of the devil, they have deviated all of God's creations, and they have schemed, and they have altered God's creation. A small example of that is how mankind manufactures things from God's creation, even in a cup of a small fruit juice. The mankind has made it into things that are full of lies. A cup of juice filled with artificial flavors and sugars that is not part of God's design. And if you look at the things that the fallen man have manufactured and developed, we see that in the core of things there is no truth. There is no lasting things in the way that the mankind are manufacturing and creating things. And we see that in the way that the farmers even farm these days. They fertilize their grounds, but they are actually poisoning the ground. And the mankind are laboring away, scheming and figuring things out to make things better. And at the end, they are trying to make life. But all that is a lie, all that is a deception. But we're living in this world that is filled with things that are not the way that God has created things to be. And in this time that we live in, we must have the person of Jesus Christ, who promises us that there will be new heaven and new earth created for those who receive Him. And Jesus Christ, before the founding of the church, He said that there is no place for Him to place His head, but upon His death and resurrection, there is found the body of Christ, the Church of Christ, where you and I are part of. And within that is the body of Christ, that we become part of that body of Christ. And except to become part of that Church of Christ, all other things that you pursue after will be a lie, a deception. And that is what the Lord reminds us, that He reminds us to seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. Beloved, our hope is found in Jesus Christ. He is the truth. And apart from Him, all things are a lie. And without Christ, we cannot live a life as the true man that God has designed us to be. The Word of God has shown us the way, and you must pray that you may be found in Christ, and Christ may be found in us. To be found in Christ means to believe in the finished work of Jesus Christ. And when we believe in the finished work of Christ, His death becomes ours, His resurrection becomes our resurrection. And we come to believe that we have died and He is in us, and Christ is the one who is living in us, and He becomes our Lord and Master. And I pray that this reality would become true in your life, that your life would become heaven on earth. Let us pray. Holy Father, we have reflected upon your word this morning. I ask you for your Holy Spirit to help us, we who are living in this world where there is no truth. Help us, Lord, to know that Jesus is the truth and the way. And through faith, unite us with Christ, that for the remainder of our lives that we may live in peace, and that we might be the ambassador of truth to the others around us. I pray, Lord, that we would not pursue after the lies of this world, the deception of this world. And help us, Lord, to have Christ in us, and help us to be found in Christ, that daily we may eat of Christ and drink of Christ and be clothed with Christ daily. In His name we pray. Amen.